Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:24 p.m. That's Central Time, and today is January 18th. I thought we'd kick off with JGBs. They contracted pretty meaningfully. That was basically in reaction to the BOJ saying that they're not going to abandon the yield curve control. But inflationary pressures are rising in Japan, and it's quite obvious that the Bank of Japan wants to ensure that they gain traction and that they're not immediately going to reverse. So they don't want to normalize policy anytime soon. But it is certainly likely to be an inevitability. And we can see very clearly that following the initial surge in the price and the contraction in the yield, then it gave up a lot of that move. And the yen gave up just about all of its weakness and is now closing out the day pretty much unchanged. So the sequence of lower rally highs is still very much intact, and it suggests that the yen will continue to strengthen. Now, because a lot of that currency trading happened in the US session, the Nikkei held on to all of its gains, but they're very likely to be unwound tomorrow. And it's hovering here in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. And I think it's more likely than not that it's going to reverse all of this nice upward dynamic that we saw today, and that we could easily see the price coming down through the 25,000 level if the Bank of Japan doesn't demur relatively soon. And we're certainly moving back into more of a risk-off environment on Wall Street as well. So that is likely to feed through into sentiment tomorrow. Now, when we think about the H-share index in China, then it was also in positive territory, although it really hasn't gone anywhere for the last couple of weeks. But it is back above the 200-day moving average, and it has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. But I think there's potential here that we're going to see at least some pause of consolidation. One thing that I think is particularly interesting is this emerging pairs trade that we see on Wall Street. And it wasn't especially evident today, but there have been several occasions over the last few months that any time we've had a negative day on Wall Street, it was the Chinese shares were among the better performers. But today we have Pinduoduo down 5.9%, and then Rivian also down. But even then Alphabet was in negative territory, but only barely. So we still have some evidence of this pair trade, although not quite as aggressive as we've seen in the past. But the Nasdaq was down 146 points and closing out the day with a downside key day reversal. Now, the short-term sequence of higher reaction lows is still intact, but this looks like a lower rally high. And downside follow-through tomorrow would confirm that signal, and it would suggest that this rally that's been underway since the beginning of the year is already beginning to run out of steam, and that we're seeing the Nasdaq now encounter resistance in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Now, let's look at the Fangman Index. So this also includes Tesla. And then we can see clearly that it didn't even quite really get up to the region of the 1,000-day moving average. It's also, I think, worth looking at the fact that the equal weight S&P 500 is relatively unchanged and holding here in the region of the sequence of lower rally highs, whereas the S&P 500, which obviously has some very significant weightings of those very large cap companies, is below the 200-day moving average and has that sequence of lower rally highs to contend with, and was down in excess of 1% in here today. And also, when we look at this short-term move, it's not quite a downside key reversal because it did not move to a new recovery high, but That's very clear confirmation of resistance in the region of the 200-day moving average. What we're starting to see, though, is some fears about growth. Now, the 10-year yield has been hovering here around the 3.5% level for most of the last 2 months, but broke lower in here today. It was down 17 basis points, pulling back now into the underlying trading range and coming back to test the region of the 200-day moving average. When we think about where we are in the cycle, the big question really is about central bank policy. And every time they've tried at the quantitative tightening program, it has resulted in deflationary fears rising. So we would have to then at least give some credence to the view that growth is going to slow down, that economic activity is going to take a hit, that consumer spending is going to take a hit. So then let's also just think about Amazon, where we've had a good size rebound for 2 weeks. Now it's testing resistance in the region of the psychological $100 level, and that's also the region of the low from the middle of 2022. Then just another big consumer company like Costco continues to look toppy, and the degree of volatility that we've had and the that's a massive reaction against the prevailing trend in the first quarter, or the second quarter of 2022, then subsequent period of right-hand extension, and now it's looking like it is encountering resistance in the region of that 200-day moving average. So this is a really bearish looking chart. And then we have Walmart. And it's been ranging in a volatile manner for more than 2 years and is now pulling back from the upper side of that range as it tests the region of the 200-day moving average. Then let's think about Ross Stores. And this would be what many would consider a recession-proof brand. And yet it is also right in the region of its peaks. It's been ranging for more than 3 years. And also looks a little bit overbought here and susceptible to additional downside. And the more back history we look at, the more this exceptionally large range sticks out. So we could easily characterize this as a type three top formation, which would be ranging, time, and size. It's an exceptionally large range where the trough to peak swing is in excess of 100%, and it looks like it's going to roll over from here. So we have certainly got some warning signs that all is not very healthy. The savings rate has collapsed over the course of the last 2 years. It's back now to a level that it hasn't been at since 2005. And we know what happened subsequently, that the lack of savings left large numbers of people at a very exposed position when the economy did roll over and a lot of people lost their jobs. So I think that's certainly something to pay attention to, because it's more likely than not that we are going to have a recession. And the 10-year minus the 3-month was at a new low in here today, so going further inverted. And we're now below the lows from 2000 or 1999, or, well, that is 2000, and from back in 2006. So you have to go all the way back to the Volcker tightening in the late 1970s and 1980 to see a point where we've had conditions this tight and a very sharply inverted yield curve. So we have the Federal Reserve reducing the size of its balance sheet, And predicting that interest rates are going to continue to rise, the bond market's having none of it, and bond yields are starting to come back down. Well, I bought some TLT in here today. I reversed the long on the Nasdaq and I bought a short because of the downside key. Then I also closed out my Nasdaq, or excuse me, closed out my natural gas long because it wasn't going in my favor. And then I went long as on an investment position for the 20-year Treasury bond ETF. I think that there's a strong likelihood that long-dated bonds are going to come back and test the region of the 1,000-day moving average, and that's a good-sized move in a relatively safe investment. But that also suggests that the economic recovery that everyone's been betting on is looking a little tired, and the Euro Stoxx index was in positive territory today, and coming back into the region of the lower side of that overhead trading range, and it is overbought. And with Wall Street rolling over, then Europe isn't likely to be able to continue to rally all on its own. Let's then pay attention to what's happening with the dollar. When we get uncertainty, the dollar tends to steady, and nothing in the way of a clear upward dynamic in here, but it has at least paused. Gold prices were in mildly negative territory in here today, down $4. They are overbought. It's, I think, more likely than not that we're going to get some consolidation, and that consolidation could be about $100. And the gold shares, by extension, are also likely to have at least some pause and consolidation. Then let's look at a very key liquidity barometer like Bitcoin, and it was down $500 in here today. Now that has not unwound the rather significant advance put in from the 12th, 13th, and 14th, where just in the space of a few days it rallied more than $3,000. But we are likely to see a little consolidation here. It is in the region of the peaks from back in November and through to August. And of course, with liquidity conditions tightening up again, then that's likely to weigh on Bitcoin. But it's worth reminding ourselves that the next halving is out in April of 2024, and it is quite likely that Bitcoin prices will bottom well ahead of that, and they won't really take off again until after the halving. So it is quite likely that we can anticipate that there will be a bottom in cryptocurrencies before the middle of this year. But that doesn't mean that we've already seen it. And we could see a good deal of volatility if stock prices continue lower from here. Then the big question is, how can industrial resources thrive when the wider stock market is easing back? So copper prices were well off their highs in here today and finishing right on the low of the day, or basically unchanged. And that was following an impressive rebound off the low yesterday. So certainly looking at a much more volatile market, but we are overbought, and it is quite normal to anticipate that we should get some consolidation. So prices could quite easily come back to about $4, but they would need to find support in that area if this recovery is going to remain intact. Now, oil prices have been quite steady, but giving up at least the initial advance in here today. So we can see that most of the selling took place in US trading time and really didn't pick up until about 4 o'clock. Or 4 o'clock UK time, and that would be about an hour and a half after the beginning of trading in the USA. considering the fact that we are in the region of the peak from about 3 weeks ago, then this is a natural area where we should expect to see some profit taking, and that is what we're seeing. So I think investors are looking at the potential for lower economic growth overall, and not yet at the point where the Federal Reserve has called a halt to interest rate hikes, and they are likely to raise again in a couple of weeks' time. So we could easily see some weakness heading into that, and then potentially that will confirm resistance. But at least with oil, the US government has basically told everyone that they're going to start buying again at between $67 and $72. So that's really not all that far away. And they said they would start in February. So we're going to see a test of that resolve, I think. And we'll then see just how serious they are about buying that oil. Now, let's then think about commodity-related markets. So, Australia has rebounded back to test the 7,500 point level and bounced really impressively from the region of the 200-day moving average. So, it's a little overbought in the short term. We could quite easily see some consolidation, but it certainly needs to hold the region of the 200-day moving average if this is going to remain a recovery scenario. Australia doesn't quite have the same amount of inflation that Europe or the USA has, and the RBA therefore isn't under quite the same duress. But and the recovery, I think, is very much tied to continued demand growth coming back in China, and that is a likely scenario regardless of what else happens. That China definitely has more fiscal stimulus already underway than just about anywhere else. And the recovery is overshadowing that fact. So the renminbi was a little bit steadier in here today, not in an especially dynamic manner, but it does suggest that most of these gains will be sustained. And they may be looking at the 200-day moving average to offer support. And of course, it's a highly manipulated market. So we're at an interesting juncture, and if we think about some of the better performing indices, like the FTSE 100, they have rallied in a very impressive manner. They're testing previous areas of resistance, so at least some consolidation is likely. But if bond yields continue lower from here, well, that will be in response to slower economic growth. And it should help to support some of the more growthy portions of the market, but probably not until the yield stops rising. The ARK Innovation ETF has rebounded fairly impressively over the course of the last 3 weeks, but it was in mildly negative territory in here today. So I think we've had the risk on for the last couple of weeks, and now we're looking at risk off. And we got the first clue of that on Monday when the VIX index popped on the upside, and then didn't really move at all yesterday, but then was up another point in here today. And we're at the lower side of this range that's been forming for the last year. We don't generally see major lows in the market until the VIX spikes to around 50, and we haven't seen that this year, or indeed over the last year, and I think that it is coming. So that is something to certainly watch for. It's also why I've been willing to open short positions. I think that there's a strong likelihood that this market will not bottom until we see a VIX reading of about 50, and that would represent the potential for a short to pay out in a rather significant manner. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.